All right, everyone, get ready because today we're diving deep into a topic that is vital for any business out there.
Absolutely.
Big or small.
Yeah.
And that is the balance between attracting new customers.
Yes.
And keeping the ones that you have happy and building that loyal following.
For sure.
We're looking at an article today called Customer Lifetime Value versus Customer Acquisition Cost, Finding the Right Balance by Chris Bradley, co-founder of Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Sounds good.
This is going to be super useful for anyone out there who runs a business or works in marketing or just really anyone who is fascinated by what makes companies tick.
You got it.
So we're going to be talking about CLV and CACI,
right,
which are the acronyms for those two things in the title.
Yep.
So we're going to be figuring out why those matter.
Yep.
And how to find that sweet spot between the two.
Absolutely.
You know, if you think about a business like a leaky bucket.
Okay.
You can keep pouring in new water, which is like your new customers.
Right.
But if you have holes in your bucket, which is losing your customers,
yeah,
you know it's not going to do very much good.
Exactly.
Right.
So you got to plug those holes.
Yeah, you got to plug those holes.
Yeah.
So let's first start by looking at the CLV.
Okay.
So what is customer lifetime value and why should we even care about this?
Well, CLV is all about understanding the long game.
Okay.
It's the total revenue a business can expect to generate from a single customer throughout their entire journey with the brand.
Right.
So it's not just about that initial purchase, but it's about the potential for repeat business upsells, cross-sells, and even those valuable word-of-mouth referrals.
So like if a customer comes in and buys a $5 cup of coffee every day for 5 years.
Right.
They're going to have a much higher CLV than someone who spends $50 on a sweater once and never comes back.
Exactly. And understanding this can be a real game changer.
Okay.
For example, imagine you're a high-end clothing retailer with a customer who consistently buys a new outfit every season. Their CLV is going to be significantly higher than a customer who only pops in for a sale item once a year.
Gotcha.
Knowing this allows you to tailor your marketing and customer service efforts to cultivate those high CLV relationships.
So you're saying it's all about focusing on those customers who are coming back all the time.
Exactly. You want to nurture those relationships.
Okay.
Maybe you offer personalized styling sessions or exclusive early access to new collections to keep those top tier customers engaged and coming back for more.
So it's like giving them the royal treatment.
Exactly. And it makes sense from a business perspective, right?
Yeah.
You're investing your resources where you're going to see the greatest return.
For sure.
Understanding CLV helps you identify those customers who are truly driving your revenue and prioritize them accordingly.
Super interesting. Chris actually gives us a really simple example in the article of how to calculate CLV.
He does.
At its most basic level.
The example uses the average order value method, which is a good starting point, but it's important to remember that there are more nuanced approaches that we can use.
Okay, so what are some of the other ways to calculate CLV?
Well, in addition to average order value, we can also factor in the customer retention rate, or CRR.
Yeah.
This gives us a clearer picture of how loyal customers are and how likely they are to stick around.
Uh-huh.
We can also use something called cohort analysis,
okay,
which dives deeper into how customer behavior changes over time.
Okay.
For example, we might discover that customers acquired through a specific marketing campaign tend to have a higher CLV than those who found us organically.
Gotcha.
These insights can then inform our future marketing strategies.
So there's like the basic calculation.
Right.
And then there are these more advanced methods that can help you really tailor things.
It's like the difference between looking at a standard map and using a GPS with real-time traffic updates.
Okay.
The more data we have, the better we can navigate the landscape and optimize our strategies.
Okay. So now that we have a good handle on CLV, let's talk about CAC.
Okay.
So what exactly goes into calculating the cost of acquiring a customer?
CAC is all about understanding the investment you're making to bring in each new customer.
Okay.
It includes everything from your marketing and advertising spend to the salaries of your sales team.
Wow. Okay.
Even the cost of creating marketing materials or running events.
So if I spend $500 on Facebook ads and I get 10 new customers.
Right.
My CAC would be $50 per customer.
You got it. And that number can tell you a lot.
Okay. So tell me, what does understanding CAC help us do?
First, it helps you see the big picture. Are you spending more to acquire a customer than you're likely to earn from them?
That's a good question.
That's a key question every business needs to answer. Hmm. Second, it allows you to compare the cost effectiveness of different acquisition channels.
Okay.
Maybe social media is bringing in customers for $20 each, while your email marketing is costing you $50 per customer. That's right. You could then shift your budget towards the channels with a lower CAC.
So it's all about, you know, working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Awesome.
It's all about optimizing your spending and finding the strategies that deliver the best bang for your buck.
Okay.
And just like with CLV, tracking your CAC trends over time can reveal a lot about your marketing and sales efficiency. Mm. If your CAC is steadily decreasing, that's a great sign.
Okay.
It means you're getting better at attracting customers for less money.
Okay, cool. So we've talked about CLV and CAC separately.
Right.
But the real magic happens when we bring them together.
Absolutely.
So finding the right balance between those two is like finding the perfect recipe.
Yes.
Too much of one ingredient and it's going to throw off the whole dish.
That's right.
I'm thinking back to that garden analogy that we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, you need the right mix of perennials and annuals.
Right.
To create a beautiful and sustainable garden.
That's a great way to visualize it.
So if you're, you know, overly focused on acquiring new customers, which is high CAC.
Right.
And you're neglecting your existing ones, which is low CLV.
Right.
Hmm. You might see initial growth, but it's unlikely to be sustainable in the long run.
Exactly.
You'll constantly be chasing new customers.
Yeah.
To replace the ones that you're losing.
You'll have a lot of churn.
Yeah. And that's going to eat into your profits.
Exactly.
It's like trying to fill up a bathtub with the drain open.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much water you're putting in. It's never going to fill up.
Exactly.
So on the other hand, if you focus too heavily on CLV and you forget about customer acquisition,
right,
you might miss out on valuable growth opportunities.
Yeah.
You could have an amazing product and a loyal customer base.
Right.
But if you're not actively expanding your reach, you're really limiting your potential.
Absolutely.
So it's all about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Where you're acquiring new customers at a sustainable cost, but you're also nurturing those valuable long-term relationships.
For sure.
So what are some strategies that businesses can use to strike that balance?
There are so many approaches, but let's start with a classic, creating a truly exceptional customer experience.
Okay. When you say that, what do you really mean?
You're right. It can be a bit of a buzzword.
Yeah.
But think about it this way. Have you ever had an experience with a company that just blew you away?
Yeah.
Maybe they went above and beyond to solve a problem, surprised you with a thoughtful gesture, or simply made you feel like a valued customer, not just a transaction.
Yeah. You know, there's this little bookstore that I go to sometimes.
Okay.
And they always seem to know exactly what to recommend.
Wow.
And they even host these like cozy author events.
That's awesome.
You know, where you really feel like a part of a community.
That's great.
And I always leave there just feeling so happy.
Exactly.
You know,
it's those little touches, that sense of personalization and genuine care that turn a one-time buyer into a loyal advocate.
So how do businesses actually create those kinds of experiences?
Right.
Is it about investing in like fancy CRM systems and loyalty programs?
Those tools can definitely be helpful. Yeah. But it all starts with a shift in mindset.
Okay.
It's about creating a culture of customer obsession.
I love that.
Empowering your employees to go the extra mile.
Ah.
And designing processes that prioritize the customer's needs.
So it has to be like an overall cultural shift?
It can't just be lip service.
Right.
It needs to be embedded in every aspect of your business, from product development to marketing to customer support.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, so customer experience is key for boosting CLV.
Right.
What about upselling?
Okay.
That word sometimes gets like a bad rap, I feel like.
It definitely can if it's done poorly.
Yeah.
But when it's done right, upselling is a win-win.
Okay.
It's about helping customers discover additional products or services that enhance their experience and meet their needs, and it allows businesses to increase their revenue per customer.
So it's not about being pushy or manipulative.
Right.
It's about offering genuine solutions and added value.
Think about the "you might also like" section on an e-commerce site, or a barista suggesting an extra shot in your latte.
Yeah.
When it's done well, it feels like a helpful suggestion, not a sales tactic.
Okay. I'm starting to see the light here.
Good.
You mentioned that data plays a big role in this too.
Absolutely. The more you know about your customers, their preferences, and their past purchases, the better you can tailor your upselling efforts.
Okay.
It's about providing relevant recommendations that genuinely enhance their experience.
So data is key for boosting CLV through upselling.
Right.
Now let's talk about some strategies for keeping CAC in check.
Okay.
We touched on this a little bit earlier, but I'd love to dive a little deeper into targeted marketing.
Targeted marketing is all about precision.
Okay.
It's like using a scalpel instead of a sledgehammer.
Okay.
Instead of blasting your message to everyone and hoping something sticks, you're focusing your efforts on reaching the specific groups of people who are most likely to be interested in what you offer.
So less spray and pray and more aim and fire.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it requires a deep understanding of your ideal customer. Who are they? What are their demographics, interests, pain points, and aspirations?
Wow.
Where do they hang out online and offline?
Okay.
What kind of messaging resonates with them?
That sounds like a lot of research.
It definitely takes effort, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
By investing in research and analysis, you can avoid wasting time and money on marketing campaigns that reach the wrong people.
So it's quality over quantity.
Exactly.
You'd rather reach 100 highly targeted prospects.
Right.
Than 1,000 people who are unlikely to convert.
Exactly. Think about it this way. If you're a vegan bakery, you wouldn't waste your marketing budget on ads targeting meat lovers.
Right.
You'd focus on reaching people who are already interested in vegan products and who are likely to be excited about your delicious offerings.
That makes sense. And there are so many tools available these days to help businesses get really specific with their targeting, right?
Absolutely. We've got social media platforms with incredibly granular targeting options. Email marketing platforms that allow you to segment your audience based on their behavior and preferences.
Yeah.
And even search engine optimization strategies that help you reach people who are actively searching for solutions you offer.
It's amazing how technology can help us connect with the right people at the right time.
It is.
But it's not just about technology, right?
Right.
It's also about the message itself.
You're absolutely right. Crafting a compelling message that resonates with your target audience is crucial.
Okay.
You need to speak their language,
yeah.
address their needs, and make them feel understood.
Uh-huh.
It's about storytelling, emotional connection, and offering a solution that genuinely improves their lives.
So targeted marketing is a combination of art and science.
It is.
Using data to identify the right audience.
Right.
And then using creativity to craft a message that speaks to them on a personal level.
Exactly. And it's an ongoing process.
Okay.
You need to constantly test and refine your approach, analyze the data, and adjust your strategies based on what's working and what's not.
So it's about continuous improvement, always striving to do better, to reach the right people with the right message.
That's right.
And that brings us back to data-driven optimization.
Yes.
Which seems to be like a recurring theme in this discussion.
It is. Data is like a compass that helps you navigate the complex world of CLV and CAC.
Okay.
It allows you to track your progress, identify areas for improvement, and make informed decisions that drive real results.
It's like having a secret weapon.
It is.
That can help make smarter business decisions.
Exactly. And the beauty of it is that data is accessible to businesses of all sizes.
Okay.
Whether you're a solopreneur or a Fortune 500 company, there are tools and resources available to help you gather insights and optimize your strategies.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
You know, going from the fundamentals of CLV and CAC.
Right.
To practical strategies for optimizing both.
Yeah.
But you mentioned earlier that these concepts apply to more than just business.
I did.
So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. Think about it. We all have customers in our lives.
Yes.
Our friends, family, colleagues, even our social media followers.
Interesting.
We invest time and energy in building and maintaining these relationships.
Uh-huh.
And we hope to receive something valuable in return.
Okay.
Love, support, companionship, connection.
So you're saying that we can apply these same principles of CLV and CAC to our personal lives.
Exactly. For example, think about your closest friendships.
Okay.
These are your high CLV relationships.
Okay.
The ones that bring you joy, support, and long-term value.
Mm-hmm.
You probably invest a lot in nurturing these friendships, spending quality time together, being there for each other through thick and thin, offering support and encouragement.
So it's like we're intuitively calculating the CLV of our friendships.
Right.
And prioritizing the ones that give us the most value.
Exactly.
And what about CAC in our personal lives?
Think about the effort you put into meeting new people and forming new connections. Maybe you join a club volunteer for a cause you care about or strike up conversations with people you meet at events.
Uh-huh.
These are your customer acquisition efforts.
Okay.
And they require an investment of time, energy, and sometimes even money.
This is blowing my mind.
It's a different way to look at it.
I've never thought about it this way, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So are you saying that we should be more strategic about our personal relationships, just like businesses are strategic about their customers?
I wouldn't necessarily say strategic,
Yeah.
but perhaps more mindful.
Okay.
Just as businesses need to balance customer acquisition and retention,
Right.
we need to find a balance between nurturing our existing relationships and making new connections.
So it's not about treating our friends like transactions,
Right.
but about recognizing the value of those connections
Exactly.
and investing in the relationships that enrich our lives.
For sure.
This has been incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
It's amazing how these business concepts
Yeah.
can be applied to our personal lives
Yeah.
and help us understand the dynamics of human connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like we've uncovered like a whole new layer of understanding when it
Yeah.
comes to building strong relationships,
Yeah.
both in business and in life.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we talked about how crucial it is for businesses to find that sweet spot between CLV
Right.
and costs.
Right.
But in your opinion, do you think most companies out there actually prioritize one over the other?
I think it varies widely depending on the company, their industry, and their overall business goals.
Okay.
Some companies are all about that initial customer grab.
Okay.
Focusing heavily on aggressive marketing and discounts to attract as many new customers as possible.
Good.
They might not put as much effort into building long-term loyalty,
mm-hmm.
which can be risky in the long run.
So they're constantly chasing the next sale.
Right.
Instead of, you know, nurturing the customers they already have.
Exactly. And
yeah.
then you have companies that are all about building those deep, lasting customer relationships.
Yeah.
They might invest heavily in personalized experiences, loyalty programs, and exceptional customer service.
It's like that bookstore I was talking about.
Exactly.
They've got me for life.
And that loyalty translates into repeat business positive word of mouth referrals and ultimately a higher CLV.
Okay.
But even companies that prioritize CLV still need to pay attention to their CAC.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make sure they're not spending a fortune to acquire each new customer, especially if those customers aren't sticking around for the long haul.
So even if you're amazing at building customer loyalty, you could still be in trouble if your acquisition costs are too high.
Absolutely. It's like building a beautiful house on a shaky foundation.
Yeah.
No matter how stunning the structure is, it's not going to last if the foundation is weak.
Gotcha.
Finding that balance between CLV and CAC is like building a solid foundation for sustainable business growth.
I love that. So if we were to play armchair analysts for a moment,
mm-hmm.
what are some things we can look for to see whether a company is prioritizing CLV or CAC?
Pay attention to their marketing messages. Are they all about flashy discounts and limited time offers, or do they emphasize the value and benefits of their products or services?
Okay.
Do they invest in personalized communication and try to build a sense of community, or do they treat you like just another transaction?
So if I'm constantly getting emails about, you know, sales and discounts and things like that, that might be a sign that they're more focused on CAC.
It could be. It's not always a bad thing, especially for businesses that rely on high sales volume.
Right.
But it's worth paying attention to those subtle cues.
Yeah.
Also look at their customer service.
Okay.
Do they go above and beyond to resolve issues and make you feel valued? Or do you get the impression that they're just trying to get you off the phone as quickly as possible?
So if a company invests in really great customer service,
yeah.
that's probably a sign they're focusing on CLV.
It's a good indicator they understand that happy customers are more likely to stick around and become repeat buyers.
Right.
And don't forget about their online presence. Do they have a strong social media presence where they engage with their followers and build a sense of community?
Uh-huh.
Do they offer valuable content or resources that demonstrate their expertise and build trust?
So it's like they're trying to create a relationship with their customer.
Exactly. They're playing the long game, investing in those connections that lead to long-term loyalty and a higher CLV.
I'm starting to look at all businesses in a whole new light now.
That's the power of knowledge.
Yeah. It's like I have this secret decoder ring to help me understand their strategies.
And the beauty of this is that you can apply these insights to your own life too.
Right. Like we were talking about earlier, we can all be more mindful about the CLV and CAC of our own personal relationships.
Exactly. It's not about being calculating or manipulative, but about recognizing the value of our connections and investing our time and energy wisely.
I feel like this has been such a huge eye-opener.
I agree.
You know, going from business metrics to like these personal relationship insights.
Yeah.
We've uncovered some pretty fascinating connections along the way.
We have.
So before we wrap up, I just want to leave our listeners with one final thought. As you go about your day interacting with businesses, building relationships, I really encourage you to think about those CLV and CAC dynamics at play.
I love that.
That's like a fascinating lens to look at the world through.
Yeah.
To help us understand the motivations behind the choices that companies and individuals make.
It's like a secret code that unlocks a deeper understanding of human behavior and the dynamics of connection.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this incredible deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
Into the world of CLV and CAC. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep those minds engaged.